life's been so sweet.
Welcome to On Mindfulness. We're so glad you found your way here on KKRN Community Supported Radio. And we're excited to introduce to you our next guest, speaking about practices that you can take on in your life, inviting more mindfulness and calm, especially in this season.
So today, Heather is with us to talk, among other things, about nature journaling. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Me too. I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite things to talk about and really just lights me up inside. So
perfect. I'm perfect. Excited. Well, and that's what I think so many people we've had on the show, you know, we do the invitation about mindfulness and wellness in general. But when we're passionate about something and it brings us joy, that's healing in itself, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially, I've been doing nature journaling in my work, and I don't want to get too ahead of us, but it definitely has helped me like find my place in the world a little bit. So it's been a really healing thing for me as well.
Well, let's start there. And I always ask people to introduce themselves however they wish. And also to ground our conversation that's coming.
Yeah, okay. Well, my name's Heather. I moved to California last September from Massachusetts. So it was a big move for me. And I came out here to work at the Western Shasta Resource Conservation District through an AmeriCorps program called Grizzly Corps. Yeah, it's an amazing program. It aims to build climate resiliency throughout rural communities in California. So I've had a really, really amazing year just immersing myself into all of California's like biodiversity. It's such an amazing place to be, you know, we're at the convergence of like three ecotones. There's no shortage of wonders to explore and mysteries and things that I don't know about. So I've had a real good time just exploring things I've never seen before. But beyond my work, I love to cook for people. I love baking. I love creating in all forms. I've been kind of on a creative journey since moving out here and letting go of my very STEM heavy brain and like just opening up all the doors that have kind of come to me since moving here. So it's been a really amazing experience for me being here in a whole new chapter of my life. And it's been really, really amazing. I'm very grateful for the community that I've been able to find and how just supportive I've been, or how supported I have been this year by people who were just strangers, you know, like not too long ago. It's been a very beautiful experience for me and has given me, or I feel very grateful to be so warmly received by a place that used to be so far away. So
yeah, that community, the communities you can find, not only when you leave a place, when you immerse yourself in something, and I really feel when you're engaged in something you're passionate about, you know, it seems easier to make those connections.
Absolutely. It really, especially in my work, we're all kind of working towards this one very ambiguous target that's kind of always moving of trying to live more sustainably and to create ecosystems that are resilient and build community that's resilient to drastic and sometimes catastrophic change. It's a very humbling and also very just like you have to really rely on each other. So it really brings people together in a lot of ways. So
yeah. Are there many climate, in my mind, I frame it as climate action groups that you know of here? I know of a couple, but I'm starting to hear about other things that exist.
At the Western Shasta RCD, we kind of try and partner a lot with the other nonprofit groups that exist within Shasta County because collaboratively we can get so much done. So we work a lot with the Horsetown Clear Creek Preserve. That's just a beautiful couple acres out just south of Redding, where Clear Creek is. And they do a bunch of restoration and host community events for anyone who wants to come. They're all free and just bring people onto that preserve and do some environmental education stuff. And then we also work with the California Native Plant Society. So they host monthly meetings and just talk all things native plants, which is a lot of those talks can be really, really informative and really cool to just hear from people. And then the Shasta Environmental Alliance, I think those are the three organizations that we've worked a lot with. There are so many more that I can't think of at the top of my head right now.
But yeah, sure.
Yeah, those three are great partners and are really making a lot of good work happen in Shasta County.
I just heard someone speak about climate hope, mm-hmm. I believe it is, and it just struck me about how important that grounding support, like you said, and navigating our feelings and mindfulness is when we face what's in front of us.
Absolutely.
Right? And for many of us, what we feel is our small role mm-hmm. in these larger dynamics.
Yes.
What are you seeing? How are people navigating that?
Yeah, I can speak from my own experience of just like the climate grief and everything that it feels like we're losing all the time, you know, and especially in California, it's like a biodiversity hotspot. And so when we lose a species, that's the species gone forever. And biodiversity is, its worth is not, you can't even put that into dollar bills, you know, mm-hmm. It really is so important for all of the natural systems that we exist within. And so I think since moving here, have had huge kind of waves of grief that come with just everything that, I mean, we have to lose, but everything that we also have to gain, you know, there's always the other side. And nature journaling has absolutely been a source of hope. And I'll definitely talk about this later, but to me, nature journaling is like the silver bullet solution for the climate crisis, is what I've come to know. I studied environmental science at UMass Amherst, and I graduated not last spring, but the spring before. And at the end of my graduation, I just felt like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make any change in the world. You know, that was my big thing upon graduating, was I really want to make the world a better place. And, you know, I studied like renewable energy and electric vehicles and all of these like high tech solutions and then like restoration and conservation efforts. And a lot of the time there were so many shortcomings that they all just kind of felt like band-aid solutions, you know? And I was like, okay, I don't know how I can commit to any single one of these solutions when they just feel a little bit like a band-aid. And it's been amazing this year to like learn about nature journaling and to kind of see it as a solution that can like heal you as an individual. And then collectively, if we're all nature journaling, which promotes us to reconnect with the world around us and reconnect with each other and reconnect with ourselves, it's like you can really start to see that a lot of the problems that we're facing are very social and cultural problems that have to start from within, you know. So nature journaling is it's a profound tool, practice, and solution to many of the individual and collective problems that we're facing.
Yeah, you're making me think, too, that in any larger social movement, seems so overwhelming, but it's not like any one person can do it on their own or has to play all the roles, mm-hmm. right? We're not all community organizers. We're not all policymakers. But art has a role. Healing has a role. Community, all of those things. And also help us to engage in doing something. It's hard to have any kind of hope or movement if you're not engaged.
Absolutely. Right? And it's like, hope is the one thing we always need to be cultivating. I know I've definitely lost a lot of hope and then had to refind it. You know, it's always this constant battle, and it feels like waves and like tides that pull you out and then it comes again. And it's kind of I feel like a secular thing that happens and it's natural for you to be feeling things that just go up and down when everything does feel out of your control. But is if you can be grounded in the role that you can play in your community, that is where you'll be able to cultivate hope amongst yourself and amongst others. And that's like, that's what we have to hold on to. It's just our hope. That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, some faith and engagement.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we've been kind of talking about nature journaling without talking about it. I thought we could, before we even explain it, how did you first encounter it? What was your first experience?
I learned about nature. Actually, I guess the first time I really came across nature journaling, and even heard that like word together, was at my orientation for the AmeriCorps program, Grizzly Corps, that I'm doing. It was just on the itinerary, but we didn't end up getting around to it. But I was like, And I remember seeing one of my my friend at, like, we weren't friends at the time, but now we are really good friends. And she was sitting and doing some nature journaling. I was like, oh, you're just drawing like the birds that you see in the tree. And she was like, yeah, it's just nature journaling. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And then we didn't end up doing it. But then a few months later, I saw it was either something that came up on my Instagram or something. Maybe one of my like co-fellows sent it in our like chat group of just a free online class on, like, I think it was how to draw mushrooms, and it was with the Wild Wonder Foundation, which is where I later investigated them even more. And they're this wonderful nonprofit organization that has an incredibly abundant library of pay what you can tutorials and prompts, and a class that you can take, which I took this past year, on how to teach nature journaling. And it's a certification class, and it's an amazing course. And because being an AmeriCorps fellow, I was able to apply for a scholarship and was able to access that resource for free, which if anyone is interested or nature journaling is piquing your interest, absolutely check out the Wild Wonder Foundation. It was started by John Muir Laws. He's from California, I think down in the Bay Area. And so there's a lot of very California specific information too, which is really cool to kind of indulge in that little, being so close to the source of where this nature journaling movement is really coming from. I think he's been able to inspire people across the world. So, and it's a really amazing organization, that just has endless, endless resources, it feels. I'm quite overwhelmed by how many resources there are. So definitely check it out.
Oh, well, I'll definitely put a link in. I'm going to check it out. I know for sure. Okay. So explain to us, say I'm going to one of your workshops, because you offer workshops, right?
Yes.
And I say, Heather, I want a nature journal. How do you explain it to people? And then if I join an experience, what would we do?
Yeah. So all of the information that I've learned on how to teach nature journaling has come from the Wild Wonder Foundation. And so I typically start by explaining the why of nature journaling. So I kind of go into the psychological benefits of why we nature journal and how our brain has these like cognitive limits of only being able to hold on to 7 ± 2 items at a time. And we're often overwhelmed by the input of information that we're sensing with all of our amazing senses, you know. And in this world, there is a nonstop grabbing for your attention, you know. And so nature journaling is really a time to slow down and to regain control of your attention, because we're living in an attention economy these days and need to be mindful of where our attention is going. And it also helps us take care of ourselves if we're more mindful of what we're putting our very limited time towards focusing on, you know. We only have a limited amount of time on this earth, so you might as well focus it on the things that are going to give back to you, you know, and not drain you like doom scrolling, which is easier said than done. Yes.
Right, right, right. Well, I'm so glad you put it in that context of attention economy, because it is so true. And even if for people who say, well, I don't do social media or I don't do this, it still gets to you. It's in the announcements. It's on the radio. It's everywhere. Things telling you what you should be paying attention to, what you should be doing, capitalizing, you're monetizing your attention.
Absolutely. And it can definitely degrade your hope when that is everything that's coming out to you is just trying to capitalize on your attention. It takes a lot to preserve that hope. And so by regaining control of your attention, for example, through nature journaling or other mindfulness practices, it can really preserve that soul that you have within you. And again, that's all we really need to hold on to is our hope. And so, yeah, nature journaling, it's a way to kind of keep record and not let our brains forget these things, you know, and to slow down. And it's also an opportunity to connect with, like, everything around you. So connecting with yourself, connecting with the other people who are at the workshop, and then, of course, everything in the natural world that is just sometimes, if you just slow down and listen to it, you'll realize that it's all kind of reaching out to connect to you.
If you're just joining us, I'm in conversation with Heather Bortolussi, and we're talking about nature journaling on Mindfulness is the show on KKRN. So those are some pretty good whys.
Absolutely.
For nature journaling.
Yeah. And so when I do start doing a nature journaling presentation, I usually am able to incorporate some quotes in there. And one that I've been recently saying a lot just about attention is a quote from Robin Wall Kimmerer, who's the indigenous writer and botanist and author of Braiding Sweetgrass, which very inspiring and very a very good book to be reading at this moment. And the quote is, paying attention is a form of reciprocity with the living world, receiving the gifts with open eyes and open heart. And so that just kind of always centers us back in on how paying attention is a very reciprocal act that if we give to the world around us, the world around us will give back to us as well. And it's a great way to start living in right relationship with the world around us, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I love talking about that quote and the weight of our attention. And so, nature journaling is absolutely a practice, but it's also a tool. And so I kind of then switch into the what of nature journaling, which nature journaling is broken down into three main questions or main prompts. So we follow the schema of I notice, I wonder, and it reminds me of. And so the I notice prompt, that is engaging with your senses. So you can use your eyes and see, you can use your ears and hear, you could taste something maybe if you're at your home and nature journaling about an orange on your counter, or if you're comfortable with your foraging abilities. You can smell, you can touch, and just engage with your senses and begin to notice things. You can notice obscurities, you can notice color contrast, you can just really let your senses and indulge in the world around you. And so that's practicing your attention. And then you move on to the next prompt of I wonder, which is engaging your curiosity. And so when you're curious about something, our curiosity happens in the hippocampus. And so that activates your memory. So when you're curious about something, you're more likely to remember it as well. And so when you're curious, it sends out a dopamine response in your hippocampus, and it kind of lights up your brain the same way that when you get the dopamine response when you're using your phone. And so as you ask more questions, you can kind of trick your brain into being a little bit like addicted to asking questions and being curious about things. You know, the more you're curious about something, you're going to ask more questions and deeper questions. And so you'll go, I notice, I wonder, and you'll ask a question of who, what, where, when, why, how, all of those basic questions that we learn as kids. And just start to ask questions about the observations that you're making around you. And so it kind of becomes this back and forth thing of I notice and I wonder and I notice and I wonder. And then you can switch to it reminds me of. And so it reminds me of is probably my favorite part of it, because it's when you get to connect what you're noticing and bring it back to yourself. And so this is practicing your creativity, because creativity is really just your ability to take one or two unrelated items and then connect them together. And so that's exactly what the it reminds me of is doing. And so For example, if we were in this imaginary world and we were walking through the woods and you say, oh, I noticed there's this pine cone on the ground, and you say, oh, I wonder which tree it fell from, you know, and you can say, oh, I noticed that it has prickly little knobs at the end of each segment. And you could say, oh, I wonder if this is a defense mechanism. And then you could say, oh, this reminds me of how a porcupine has quills. And maybe the porcupine reminds me of your like brother's favorite Pokemon as a kid, you know, and it can just become this like story. And so you can move through these prompts through nature journaling, and you use pictures, numbers, and words. And so it's this like 3x3, or I guess it's 3x2, of pictures, numbers, and words. And then I notice, I wonder, and it reminds me of. And so if you're just getting into nature journaling, start wherever you feel most comfortable. Some people are more drawn to counting things and numbers and graphs. If that's more of your background, start there. But maybe if you're more interested in words and poetry or writing songs, you can use your words and start writing more. It doesn't have to be exclusively one of these three things, but sometimes it's fun to have a little dynamic of all three of them and practice those skills, because we're very malleable and can practice these things, you know? And so I tend to start with drawing just because that's where I feel most comfortable, but have definitely started to write some pretty bad poems on my, and I wouldn't say bad, I'm just writing poems on, yes, in my journal. And that is enough for me because it just helps me remember this experience and to really connect with myself and the world around me and all of my thoughts. And half the fun for me is going back into my journal and looking at everything that I was noticing and the way that my brain was lighting up. And it's just kind of fun to look back and follow your train of thought, especially when I get very overwhelmed when I first start of like, oh my gosh, there are so many things here to look at when you really look at a small scale. So it's fun to see what your brain really was focusing on and what paths those led you to, because it's very abundant. It's a very abundant experience.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing so much in what you're saying. You know, one of the first things that struck me is, you know, I have friends in my life who are very literal. Mm-hmm. And so to say nature journaling, and I love the way that you presented it, because I have a particular friend I'm thinking of who, well, I can't identify any species. You know, I don't know which is a ponderosa or whatever. And it sounds like the noticing is just very basic, whatever's drawing your attention, wherever you are choosing to place your attention.
I was actually able to go to, I've only ever really taught my own nature journaling workshops besides the ones that I've like kind of watched online. But last weekend at the Butte Good Fire Festival, there was a pyro sketching therapy workshop. The woman who was teaching that little workshop, she used the term body radar, kind of, when you're first going out to nature journal, just like listening to where your body is pulling you to go. And like, rather than thinking about, okay, I know what this tree species is, I'm going to go to that tree because I know it. Instead, you're going to like listen to your body and just be pulled on these like journeys of unknown, you know, like when you really start to look at things, you'll really begin to, and ask questions about these things, you really get humbled very quickly at how little you know, you know? Mm-hmm. And so listening to your body rather than your brain while nature journaling, especially as you're trying to find your nice spot to sit in or the things that are calling to you, it's a lot better when you do it that way, I think.
Yeah, well, and maybe it's super connected to the attention economy, but sometimes feeling that you're an expert in a particular arena or knowing a lot of information can blind you to other things that
Absolutely.
Are there, or the wonder. You know, they don't have to be mutually exclusive, and there's certainly a lot of scientists who their wonder drove them into discovery and to curiosity, or I'm sorry, their knowledge drew them into greater curiosity.
Yeah, there's a big... While I was taking the nature journaling class, a huge idea that they wanted to hit home was just growth mindset.
Yes,
and that
yes.
nature journaling is a great practice of growth mindset. Because again, it just immediately shows you how little you know. And it's kind of fun in some ways if you can let go of control for a little bit and just remember that you will never be able to know it all. There will all, the more you know, the less you know. It's just
right. It opens up more doors.
Absolutely.
Really is what more knowledge should do. Bigger questions.
Absolutely. And that is one of the most fun things for me, as I was saying, it was looking back at my journal, and you can see like your questions get like deeper and richer. You know, you really start at the surface, and then as you notice more things that are based off those questions, you can dig and really get to some juicy questions, which mm-hmm. that's a lot of fun. And I wouldn't say that I've really been able to come up with any like groundbreaking scientific evidence or really like proven anything, but I've definitely like I've just connected so much with the world through it, and like the experience itself of digging for those questions and the things that you notice on the way to get there is all, that's what it's all about. You know, I like to start my nature journaling sessions with, well, first I usually do like a deep breath and everything and get all my jitters out. But I start by telling everyone the rules of the day. And or the truths of the day, that's what it is. And the two truths are that you are an artist and you are also a naturalist. Even though this experience is not about creating a beautiful art masterpiece, if you're observing the world and then your internal workings are like alchemizing it into something else and it's coming on the paper, that's art to me. Anyone can come and do this and get a lot out of it.
Yeah, well, that's another freedom, another thing that we put on a shelf. Like this constitutes art and this doesn't constitute mm-hmm. art, right? And it's such a, we were talking before we started recording, a human right to be creative and to have artistic expression without worrying about how it's going to be monetized or how it's going to be judged or, mm-hmm. and the way that you explain people engaging in however they want to in the journal really is a reflection of that freedom mm-hmm. and non-judgmental space where you can make up the rules. And we don't really have many spaces like that.
Yeah, absolutely a lack of spaces where we can all come together and kind of be creative and imagine. And one of my favorite things, there's so many of my favorite things about nature journaling, but at the workshops, it feels really magical because while we all come together and everyone's sitting and we do the little introduction, and then I send people off to go with a prompt. Usually I give them some general guidelines, and all the success is measured in like how much fun you had and like that kind of stuff. Like, you're going to succeed. And then I let everyone know that we're going to share afterwards if people are comfortable. And so people go out and they explore, and we're all in the same place, you know, we're all in the same, like, if you look on a GIS map, like, we're all in this area that's outlined by borders. And then you come back and it's like everyone has just like gone into their own world and explored like the nooks and crannies of this very like small pocket of this place. And it's just so amazing to like see how rich of an experience everyone's having in such a different way. You know, I feel like we'll come back and people will tell me stories of like this wonderful bird that came to visit them, or they'll tell me a story of like the lichen that was growing on this bench that they were sitting on, or like a little bug that came and crawled on them, or maybe just like the contrast of colors, or how like the grass was blowing in the wind, and how it's just everyone has such a rich and diverse experience on this like one place that we're all visiting for the moment, you know? And so it really becomes kind of, when everyone starts sharing, you know, I feel like it starts off a little quiet and people are a little timid, but people begin to kind of like be like, oh, this is like fun. And like, we're all telling stories of what we've seen, and it becomes this kind of like collage of the present moment. You know, it's like together, everyone's little nature journal tells a story of what was happening on that day at that time. Mm-hmm. In that place. And it's just so, it's so rich. It's so, I love it.
Yeah, well, you know, I am involved in a couple of different modalities where it's group sharing, where people just share and they're not given advice, or there's, you know, intervention and people are just witnessed and you create that safety. And in the context that you're describing, it seems doubled because there's the richness around you that you typically don't take time to notice, mm-hmm. and then the richness in these human lives mm-hmm. of people who sit next to you who have shared experiences maybe, or are carrying something that you never would have imagined, or are lit up by something that maybe you didn't notice at first and now you did. And it's kind of that double richness. I mean, it's all nature, really, you know, human nature as well. But yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fun. And so hopefully there will be some more workshops hosted soon in the future that we'll talk more about towards the end of this show.
Sure. If you're just joining us, I'm in conversation with Heather Bortolussi here on Mindfulness, and we're talking about nature journaling. One of the things that you mentioned is that you could do numbers, you could count, you could write, you could draw. And I'm sure you could collage or you know, whatever. Is the invitation to try to explore more than one, or to go into an area where maybe you have an inner critic that says, I can't draw? Is that the invitation, the idea to feel free to do those, or is it whatever is pulling you that day?
Yeah, we definitely do acknowledge the inner critic during my beginning spiel, and I like to invite people to throw on the word yet whenever they have those
growth mindset.
Yeah, those thoughts of I can't do this and I can't do this yet. I mean, I've taught a few lessons for like school groups, like younger children, and I have a little like kind of checklist of what they should be kind of doing, of like their pictures, number, words. It reminds me of, and so I always encourage like all guests of any age to kind of just practice those other skills that we don't feel as comfortable with. You know, it's like really the only way to get better at something is practicing. And I definitely am guilty of avoiding numbers and that kind of stuff, and creating graphs, even though I like historically have been more in the science world and stuff. I get very caught up in the drawings, and time moves in a funny and dilated way when you're nature journaling, that oftentimes I'm usually like the last person to come back to the nature journaling session. I always feel bad. We should all be encouraged to kind of step into those zones that we don't really feel as comfortable with. You know, nature journaling is a very safe space just to kind of play with your brain and with the things that you're noticing, you know? And so, yeah, there is encouragement, but also understanding that it's a lot of people's first time journaling in this way, or journaling at all, or maybe people haven't really like picked up a pencil in a really long time. And so that can be a very nerve-wracking thing. And I know that when I first started journaling back in my high school years. So I didn't start journaling until 2020, which was like right before the pandemic happened. But I had received this like beautiful leather bound journal for Christmas one year. And I think it took me like 4 years to even start writing in that journal. Mm-hmm. And I have so many empty books, you know, mm-hmm. that are just waiting to be filled. And so I really encourage people to first and foremost not be scared of blank pages. You know, sometimes when I'm having trouble just starting either on a nature journaling project or another creative project, like I'll just draw like a scribble across the page, you know, it's better than nothing being there. And it really like takes the edge off of that first mark that you make on the page. So I try and encourage people to really notice where their edges are and what they're comfortable with, and kind of like hang out on the cliffs of those and mm-hmm. see how close they're willing to get. But also this is a new thing for me, you know, nature journaling. I've only been really doing it for a year. And so I totally understand that it takes time, and we have the time to practice those skills. And it's really all about your introduction to a thing. So I want to make sure that people are comfortable if this is their first time.
For me, walking into something that I don't know a lot can make it easier to have that sense of wonder. Mm-hmm. And wonder can really highlight beauty and possibility mm-hmm. in ways that facts don't.
Absolutely. We're so moved by emotion and stories rather than facts and numbers, and wonder really like is the guiding star of that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so, wonder is, I feel like, one of those emotions or feelings that I'm always chasing. And since even if you don't go out and nature journal every day, you know, I still think about those prompts basically every single day that I'm, you'd see something, you know, it doesn't even have to be nature, but I just have become a more attentive and curious and creative person because of the practice of nature journaling. And for that, I'm very grateful. I don't think I used to really think of myself as a curious person. And now I feel like I'm, and one of my goals at the beginning of last year was to get better at asking questions. And I definitely have gotten better at asking questions. I think a lot of that has to do with me, like, practicing my curiosity, you know. It is a very practicable skill that just brings endless wonder to you, you know? And it is like that dopamine rush that goes in your head when you feel curious about something, you know? It's mm-hmm. It's a very endless path to wonder, you know? Like, you'll never reach it, but you'll just keep walking and things will be revealed to you. And it's so bountiful and so beautiful.
I wanted to kind of put a pin in that word practice. That's another thing that I think that we can capitalize or think of in a narrow way, right? Like, we've heard the whole 10,000, which I think has been debunked in some area, like, to gain mastery, 10,000 hours of practice, or practice is something hard and not very enjoyable. But we practice everything all of our lives, right? We never have gotten to the pinnacle of relationships, say, or listening, and don't have to engage in it anymore, right? And even reading, you know, maybe we know how to read. There's always ways of reading and things that can be expanded. And so I think there's something in what you're saying about thinking of practice as engagement and coming to the table, coming to the river, however you want to think about it, that loosens things up and makes you more open to questions or curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny you bring that up. I feel like recently I've been really, like, reflecting on the word practice, you know, and it's so much easier when you think of things as a practice rather than some achievement, you know, or some skill level you need to reach. It lends itself to, like, a conversation with yourself and a conversation to the thing that you're engaging with. And it's like everything in this world is so fluid and nothing withstands the hand of time, you know? So it's important to recognize, like, that practice is a very fluid and nonlinear thing that you'll make strides at and then have setbacks. And that's just the waves of life that come. It's like that grief that comes and goes. It's a great practice of just accepting change and the fluidity of everything in life.
You might get good at something and then the world changes around you. Mm-hmm. Or of parent, you know, I am a parent, my daughter's an adult now, but you know, I've never been a parent of an adult this age. You know, parenting always changes and the world around you changes and what your adult child or small child is dealing with changes. Mm-hmm. And so it's never like you've nailed anything, really, and that you have to pay attention to it, even though we think that would be restful. But there's also a deadening aspect to that, too, of thinking like, oh, well, now we don't have to. We're married. We don't have to think about that person anymore.
Yeah. And well, one of my favorite things about nature journaling is just, well, I think it makes time feel funny when you nature journal, and it really absorbs you into the present moment. And I've thought a lot about nature journaling as a practice and the practice of, like, journaling every day and what that does for your perception of time. You know, I haven't gone through nature journaling and done nature journaling every day, but I have done other journaling experiences every day. You know, this past year I started doing this snail journal where I drew myself as a snail every day just for fun and created this little, it was almost like a comic book kind of thing. And, you know, I ran out of pages in my book and haven't picked up another journal to continue that practice, but it's funny these days when I don't have my practice of writing or noticing something about myself or noticing anything every day, I like look up and November's done, you know? And it's like, where did all that time go? Mm-hmm. But nature journaling and any form of journaling can be such a great log for the passage of time and noticing things change, you know? And it's, especially in the fall, in New England, it feels, and here too, but the fall in New England is it's a special time and a special place. And it just feels like every single day that you step outside, it's like a different world, you know? Things change so rapidly and so dramatically and so beautifully. And it's like, if we go to work every day and are inside 8 hours and come out and it's dark, you know, you don't really notice the world changing around you. And then suddenly one day you wake up and it's summer, you know, and the time just passes so quickly and without any thought or attention or any, like, you're not really grounded in all of the change that is happening around you. And so when you do notice the change, it feels very dramatic and very intense and like, where did it all go, you know? But doing a log or a nature journal, you know, it really like, it keeps track of all of the little changes that are happening. It makes you have a way more representative picture of how we've gotten to where we are, you know? And that is, it's very important to me to have a good sense on how things are changing, you know? And nature journaling really is a great way to be a steward of where you're living or the places around you, you know? And a lot of stewardship always reminds me of the quote of, we're all just walking each other home, you know? Stewardship really, you can't have stewardship without change and the acknowledgement that things are changing and things will always change and that change is inevitable. But I feel like stewardship is like, yes, change is inevitable, but the direction of that change is not, you know? And stewardship is kind of like the guiding hand of where that change is going to go. And to record that change and take notice of the ways that the world is changing around you, especially like your local environment and the people you're seeing and that kind of stuff, it's like, it's a great way to be a steward to nature journal and take record of everything. That's, I think, largely the biggest, or one of the biggest ways I see nature journaling able to make change in the world is just by noticing and being able to recognize the way that the world does change.
Yeah. And when I hear you, based on what you're saying before, we need those people who can name the watershed and and the trend of water and the minerals, like the, you know, all the scientific, the data part. And it seems like you're saying that it's also important that someone could say there used to be rushes here, or we used to hear frogs until, you know, this time of year, or I don't see these fish anymore, or now I see these insects. And that also is that relationship to the land and awareness and stewardship.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just got hit by like a wave of grief when you said that, because it's true. Like, our baseline for things is shifting, you know? Like, the world that I'm growing up in is not going to be the same that like my children would grow up in. And, you know, I didn't grow up in the same world as my parents or grandparents, you know? And we are seeing like dramatic losses in wildlife and biodiversity that is not like, some of that isn't repairable. There's a lot we can save and there's a lot we can restore, but at the same time, it's going to take time and a lot of cultural shifts to make that work happen. And I'm very hopeful and committed to imagining those futures, and I want that future for us. But it's also, we do need to, well, one, be grateful and notice what we do have right now. And nature journaling is a very hopeful thing for me, as I've said, because it does lend you to be grateful and to appreciate and pay attention to what we have right now. But it also like holds us accountable in a lot of ways to be connected to the world around us. And to, when you're connected and noticing something, it's that like cognitive dissonance, you know, when you pay attention to something and act in a certain way, you're not going to be able to think, you know, our thoughts and our actions are going to be aligned. So by nature journaling, you're kind of tricking yourself into caring about the world around you a little bit more in a different way, you know?
With people too, if you hear their story, if you listen, if you get to know them enough, you will see what there is to love mm-hmm. in them. And there has certainly mm-hmm. been a lot of women, often feminist scientists, who have come to their discoveries through emotions and through love and empathy. I think it was Evelyn Fox Keller mm-hmm. who described falling in love with maize of corn and mm-hmm. and it really pulled her into that wonder and curiosity. But she had that care that made it important. It made her, drove her, but also helped her to see things mm-hmm. like you see with someone that you care about. Maybe you see an inflection or an action that doesn't quite fit with how they usually are, mm-hmm. right? And lead you to discoveries. And certainly rational ways are only one way of knowing. We've right. given that, right? We've given that predominance as well. But emotions are also a way mm-hmm. of knowing. Hard to be a steward if you don't have that empathy or connection.
Right. And it's nice to... Nature journaling does happen on such a local level, you know? It can happen, like, in your backyard or in your house if you have a little house plant, you know? It's a way to just... Because attention, like you're saying, is a form of love, really. And so is curiosity, you know? They're just different ways to love and be a better listener, you know? There's a lot mm-hmm. more ways to listen rather than just talking, you know? We listen with all of our senses, really. And so... You can do nature journaling in your garden and you can take notice of the pollinators that are coming and when they're coming and create a little log of like your own garden or how your houseplant is doing or maybe how mold grows on your oranges that you've been neglecting, you know? Like there's a lot of ways that you can be a steward in your own life, and nature journaling and the practice of it, I think, extends beyond just nature, you know? You can go and just journal and notice and wonder and remind me of that thought in your like park as you notice people walk by, you know, and we're at a cafe, you know, those questions extend beyond just connecting to the natural world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also that it's available to anyone. So maybe you don't have vision or you don't have hearing or you don't have taste mm-hmm. anymore. Most of us have at least a couple of senses, and some of them heightened if we've lost another one, that we can engage in the world that way. So it's inclusive mm-hmm. in that sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nature journaling really is for all. There's so many ways to engage in it. It doesn't have to be a big thing or anything, you know, you can do it where you're sitting right now, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm.
So with that lovely segue invitation, we try on this show to give people an experience. And whether it's the person leading something or suggesting something people can do at home. And I'm wondering if you have anything like that to share with listeners.
Yeah. Last time I hosted a nature journaling workshop, it was all about hope because I was feeling down and really needed to kind of pick myself up because it wasn't working for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm going to invite you all to either go through the thought process or to engage in some journaling with a pen and paper. If you don't have access to that right now, that's okay. But we're first going to start with just a nice, deep, and abundant breath. So just breathe in. You can hold for a second if you want, or you can let go and just out. And we'll do that one more time. And out. And that's very nice. A great way to start. And so what we'll be doing today is just nature journaling or looking for hope with all of our senses. And so I'm going to invite you throughout your day or right now in the next 5-10 minutes that you have is just to look for hope, but you don't just have to do it with your eyes. You can, what does hope sound like? What does hope taste like? What does hope feel like? Can you touch it? What does hope look like? And what does hope smell like to you? You know, sometimes hope smells like to me is just fresh air. I don't necessarily want to be smelling things, you know, and maybe hope tastes like a cup of tea because it reminds me that the holidays are coming soon. You get to see your family and drink tea with the people that you've grown up drinking tea with. And maybe hope looks like someone picking up a piece of litter, or maybe it looks like you picking up a piece of litter. Maybe hope feels like a prickly branch that's been, or you know what hope looks like sometimes is a live oak leaf. You know how they get prickly? What an amazing adaptation to being eaten, you know? Hope comes in so many different forms. And so I encourage you to indulge in hope with all of your senses and to nature journal about it through I notice, I wonder, and it reminds me of. And so the noticing part will be noticing hope. And then you can ask questions about it. And then you can, it reminds me of, you can relate it back to yourself. And I guarantee it, you'll feel really good afterwards. Like, it will really change the way that you see the world if you can start turning your attention towards hope.
It sounds like a wonderful practice. We do something similar in some of our poetry workshops where we encourage people to take a concept, abstract concept or something concrete, and to think about it in that way, just all the different dimensions, opening it up or putting it together with different words. And it does kind of open up the concept to exploration.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun since doing that prompt of just finding hope in every crevice, you know. It's it's funny the ways that it just comes to you, you know, and everyone will have different experiences with it, you know, there'll be so much to share. So definitely share the hope that you notice too. That is a huge piece of hope, is to share it, because it is an endless source that just keeps on spawning once you find it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So share your hope.
So you're doing workshops that you offer. Do you do anything else? Are there other ways that people can learn about and engage in, you know, I don't know, social media sites, although we talked about the intention economy, or prompts, or
where I work at the Western Shasta RCD, the Resource Conservation District, that's what that stands for. And if you haven't heard of RCDs, there's at least one in every county, and they do a lot of work with private landowners and federal and public land. So we're kind of at the intersection of federal agencies and private community members. We're really important for bringing those grants and like that money and those projects that the federal and state agencies hold and other private organizations, and getting that work done that needs to happen at the local scale. So we host a lot of community events, and we're recently delving more into the intersection of art and conservation. And so we've hosted a few workshops on that topic, and we're hoping to expand. We've held a cyanotype printing workshop. This past weekend, we had a recycled paper making workshop that went really well. It was amazing. Yeah, we've accumulated a lot of paper over the past 20 years that we've just held on to. And so there was about 15 people that came, and we shredded all that paper up and made new sheets. And then on November 20th, which maybe has just passed, we'll be hosting a recycled paper making zine bookbinding workshop. So we'll be making zines and little booklets with the recycled paper that we've made to kind of encourage people to give a sustainable gift for the holidays, and just to be resourceful and to create things from the resources that we already have available. And yeah, we'll be hosting more nature journaling workshops coming up in the new year, I imagine. There's a lot of good on the way, and so many fun things. I also want to let you all know that the North State Giving Tuesday is coming up. And so as a part of our nonprofit, the Shasta Conservation Fund, we're hosting a pint night at Poor Boys to do a little fundraising. And so that will be a lot of fun if you want to come out and learn about our organization and all of the events that we have brewing for the coming year.
Nice.
I didn't even mean to do that, actually. That was funny.
And so, like, the go-to is that that Western Resource Conservation.
Yes, the Western Shasta Resource Conservation District. And then our nonprofit arm is the Shasta Conservation Fund, and that's where we're able to host our education events and our community events. And most of those, and I hope for the foreseeable future, are free to the public and just provide a way to engage in the world around you, the natural environment. We host,
Great. Yeah, I mean, and it's good to have one place that people can go to, but we will definitely start through a couple of different sites sharing some of that. That's really exciting.
Yes.
And such a great way to partner with people who are interested in climate, people who are interested in art, people who are interested in writing. And
yes, yeah. The people want to do things, and the people want to do things that are free. And it's a great way to tell people about the work that we do, because it really, the more we can connect with community members and private landowners, you know, we're able to get more of that work done that the RCD actually does, which is a lot of like wildfire mitigation. We do a lot of home hardening, defensible space. We do fuels reduction. And we do a lot of like pollinator habitat restoration and wildlife habitat restoration. And we have a whole breadth of work that we're able to get done throughout the western half of Shasta County. So it's very, very rewarding work to be a part of. And I'm really grateful to have found myself here. You know, it's funny, the twists and turns of life.
It is. I'm a big believer that when you are open and connected, at least connected with your why and externally, you can allow yourself to be led and exciting places.
Very exciting.
So Heather, is there anything I should have asked you that I didn't, or something else you wanted to be sure to mention before we end?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway is that nature journaling is a really wonderful solution. Like, if you're feeling hopeless or you're feeling like you need to put your energy somewhere, I really, really recommend trying out nature journaling. It is a tool to connect with the world around you. It's a practice to understand yourself and your place in it. And it is absolutely a solution to the disconnect that we're feeling, you know, between people and the environment and between people and other people. It's really a great way to kind of mend those stitches that are falling apart. And so that's where I'll leave you all.
It's a great place to be left. If you have listened to us, gone through this journey with us, Heather Bortolussi has given us some inspiration and some ideas and ways of engaging in nature journaling. And you can find more of the resources that she mentioned on our show notes in the archives. Oh, wow. Heather, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
You've been listening to On Mindfulness on KKRN, community-supported radio by listeners like you. Visit kkrn.org for archives of this show and more. Our theme music is provided by Rachel Beck, Omnificent. You can find her music wherever good music is sold.